Asbury Web Radio, and today we are talking with Janice, who is sharing her own personal story. She is a survivor of 9/11, and we're going to continue with her sharing her story.
Back to the stairwell. I follow a large group of people into the continuation of the north stairwell. It is very crowded now, so the stairwell has become a traffic bottleneck. We are moving more slowly now. One flight down, left U-turn, another flight down, next floor. I notice an elderly man who is being helped on the stairs. I recognize him. I see him occasionally on the 68th floor doing maintenance work. He groans with almost every step. His left hand is on his chest over his heart. His right arm is wrapped around the shoulder of a younger man. The young man's left arm is wrapped around the older man's waist, and with his right hand he holds the railing as he steps down. The young man is not dressed like a security guard. He might be a coworker or a friend. Or maybe he's a stranger who happened to be nearby when the older man needed help. The width of the stairwell normally allows only two people on a step, but with the older man leaning against the younger and moving very slowly, there is room for a third person to pass on the left. I pass them and continue down. I see a woman who is being helped by a man. I recognize her also. She works in the cafeteria. The man holds the railing with his right hand and helps the woman with his left. Every step looks painful for her. The pair is moving very slowly, so others pass on the left, one by one. The crowd around me keeps changing as people continue to emerge into the stairwell. For such a crowded area, people are being unusually patient and polite, allowing others to merge in front of them without any pushing or bumping or complaining. Some of the people are overburdened by the loads they are carrying. Others offer assistance. Now there is a middle-aged woman behind me who says that her legs hurt and she needs to stop. A slightly younger-looking man, who is walking near her, offers to carry her, but she declines. The man assures her that he is capable of carrying her down the steps, but the woman still declines the offer. She just wants to stop and rest for a while. She stops on the next landing and talks to a security guard who is waiting there. Now I feel an amazing peacefulness here in the stairwell, the peace of God. It is completely comforting, but the thought of it is overwhelming. My throat feels tight from trying not to cry. I believe that God is always present, but I'm surprised that it feels so obvious here. We don't appear to be in danger at this point. On the other hand, it would explain the extraordinary compassion that I see in the stairwell. Now I notice a young woman who is one step ahead of me and to my right. Her breathing is very heavy. It sounds like she is in trouble. Her breathing keeps getting louder as if she is becoming more and more distressed. I doubt there is anything I can do for her. My throat still feels tight and it's hard for me to talk, so I tap her on the left arm to get her attention. At the touch, she jerks suddenly and gasps as if startled, and then she lifts her left hand slightly in a gentle stop gesture. I ask her if she needs help. She shakes her head and says no. Now her breathing seems normal. She looks completely calm now as she focuses on the steps in front of her. As more people merge into the stairwell, the young woman disappears into the crowd. My calf muscles are getting tight. They probably would have started hurting earlier, but I had a workout last week which was unexpectedly vigorous. I helped my daughter move into her college dormitory room on the fifth floor of a building with no elevator. At the time, I did not appreciate all that stair climbing, but now I do. I'm stronger now. I keep walking. Now I am feeling hot and a little dizzy. Some sweaters and light jackets have been left in landing areas. I look back at the people behind me. One woman's face is flushed. Yes, it is definitely getting hot in the stairwell, but I am not going to faint. I am going to get out of here. A woman, several steps ahead, pulls a package of moist towelettes out of her purse. She gives some of them to the people around her, saying, "Here, put it on your face, it'll make you feel cooler." She passes more of them back for people behind her. Out of the stairwell. The stairs finally end, and we exit the north stairwell near the multi-story windows which face the plaza. The view is startling. Huge chunks of broken concrete and all kinds of debris filled the area beyond the windows. The destruction is so extensive and so shocking that people tend to freeze as they come out of the stairwell. But then a female police officer yells, "Keep moving, don't look out." Several policemen block the exits to the plaza. The female officer keeps yelling, "Go down the escalator, don't look out, keep moving." I follow the crowd to the left, to the escalator which goes down to the Liberty Street level. I can see Joe in the crowd on the lower level. As I get off the escalator, he approaches me and says, with a very resolute tone, "I'm not coming back here." I don't know how to respond. I hope he changes his mind. Out of the Trade Center. As we leave the World Trade Center complex, some people pause to look back at the towers. Another policeman yells, "Don't look back, keep moving, go over to Broadway." So we cross Church Street, and then I look back. There is a large jagged hole in the South Tower, and there is fire and smoke. It looks like it's from another plane crash, in which case it must have been intentional. The fire in the South Tower looks very close to where we work. I hope everyone on those floors left early. Joe and I see another co-worker, Bridget, on Fulton Street. She must have arrived on the 68th floor shortly after we left because she wondered where everyone was. She figured there was a problem and decided to leave. Now she can see the problem, the damage to the towers, and she wonders what happened. Joe explains that it was a terrorist attack. Bridget asks if we have seen any other co-workers since leaving the buildings. I have not. She names a few who have been seen, so we know that those people got out of the building safely. We continue walking east on Fulton Street along the fenced graveyard behind St. Paul's Chapel. A television camera is recording the scene. I hear a cry from behind me, so I turn to look. A young woman has her head down on her right hand, which is on the left shoulder of a young man. Her crying stops momentarily as she lifts her head and looks back at the South Tower. She looks toward the very top and then downward, moving her lips slightly as if counting the floors from the top of the building to the crash site. Suddenly, she lets out another loud cry and her head drops back down to the shoulder of the young man. It doesn't sound like a cry of fear, but rather a cry of grief. From the thousands of people who were in the World Trade Center on 9/11 and survived, there are thousands of stories. Some of the stories are similar to mine in parts, but they are also unique because of where the people were at what time, what they noticed, and what they remember. Of course, there are stories of terror and loss, but there are also many stories of compassion. The show of kindness that day was so extraordinary that it was easily noticed, and it is gratefully remembered.
Thank you so much, Rose, for sharing that. If you'd like to ask some questions of Rose, you certainly can join in. 516-876-4964.
You certainly can drop an IM at OWWRNYDAME. You're listening to Awareness Avenue. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Deb.